You're tuned in to East Tennessee's premier sports radio call-in show. This is The Drive.
And hello, good afternoon, and welcome to another stellar edition of The Drive here on Fan Run Radio. Russell Smith punching the time clock on a rainy Monday here in East Tennessee, getting set to do the thing. We have much to discuss. Live from your White Claw Hard Seltzer Studios alongside Bear and Young, Marcus Young, for another three-hour tour. Good afternoon, Bear. How are you, sir?
Doing a lot better than I was, Russ.
Good.
Getting back on the bounce, so to speak.
Welcome to the land of the living. Marcus, you doing all right, buddy?
I can't complain.
Sure you can.
Do you want me to?
No, not really.
Particularly. We are Orange Bowl bound.
Yeah, baby!
Ladies and gentlemen. See, it all worked out all right. It all worked out okay.
Did nobody, and I mean nobody, listening to the sound of our voices has any reason to complain about anything with this season as far as I'm concerned.
Well,
we have finished 10-2, and we are ending the year on South Beach, baby. How do you like them apples?
I mean, like the Negaval might point out the fact that there were many people saying.
Many people.
This time last week that I don't think we would have made it anyway. Even if we had beat South Carolina, I don't think we would have made it. Yeah, you would have made it. You would have made it. You'd be playing Michigan.
You think they would have taken us over Ohio State?
Yes.
Mark Nagy had a really good.
Yes, I think they would have taken you over TCU, too, because you would have only had one loss to the number one team. I think you would have been number three playing. I don't think it would have been Ohio State. I think it would have bumped TCU to fourth, and you'd have been playing Michigan.
TCU would have been
for
the sacrificial
in the Fiesta Bowl for a chance to go play Georgia again for a national championship. Now, the Hooker situation figures into that. We don't have to go down that road right
Please
here off
don't.
The top. I'm sure we are destined to go down that road. It's a three-hour show. We've got five of them this week. At some point, we will walk down that hall of misery together and lament what if. But I'm more inclined to think your thought, it looked very much like we were headed to the Cotton Bowl. We get the matchup with Clemson. We get to take on Dabo. The orangiest Orange Bowl of all time is coming to fruition. I think it was a good weekend for the Vols.
Absolutely. I'm going to wait in the vestibule as you guys go down that hall. I have no desire to walk down that hall again, man. What's done's done. I mean, there's any number of things that happen to you throughout life that there's just no point in going back to it. Is there really? You know, do you really want to be miserable? You want to talk about that relationship that you really wish you hadn't screwed up, but it bombed like Nagasaki?
No, you don't want to. You don't want to, but sometimes you have to.
To what?
To avoid repeating the same mistake. Those who do not confront history, understand why it happened, are doomed to make the same mistakes over and over and over again.
I will say, I will agree with that, but there's no point in wallowing in it.
No.
Long term.
No.
And I feel like that's what we've done.
No.
Now, if you want to go back down that hallway one more time.
Like I said, I don't want to, but we're a sports radio show. We're going to talk about things. We're going to talk about what if scenarios and everything. So it's going to come up. I don't want to, like, we're doing it now.
Sure. That's the ugly part about this hallway. It sucks you in. Now I'm getting angry. I was Orange Bowl bound Bear.
I merely brought it up to say that we weren't going to do it. You said you didn't want to do it and then proceeded to make us do it.
I'm me. Sorry.
Folks, Fan Run Radio's Bowl Picks Contest presented by Crown Cleaners is off and running. To enter, just go to our Facebook or Twitter feed. We've posted the link up there. And make your picks. Before bowls kick off, you got, I think, 2 weeks or so until the first bowl. What is today, the 15th? and the first one is the 16th. So 11 days until we get to watch UAB versus Miami of Ohio in the hometown Lenders Bahama Bowl.
Planning on watching it. I say this every year. I tell myself, man, not much college football left. I'm going to savor every one of these.
And you tune in to the hometown Lenders Bahamas Bowl, and you watch it for about a minute or two, and you see the half-empty stands, and you're like, yeah.
You know what I do get? The one thing about bowl season, at least for me personally, I get a lot of stuff done around my house because if there's a bowl game on, I'll turn it on. I won't pay attention. But I'll get a lot of stuff done, like straightening up, cleaning, getting behind stuff.
Taskmaster Bear. College bowl season makes his house operate more efficiently. You can operate more efficiently if you pick the most winners. You're going to be winning gift cards from Crown Cleaners, from the Pizza Kitchen, from Alumni Hall. It's Fan Run Radio's Bowl Picks Contest brought to you by Crown Cleaners, providing imperial dry cleaning service to all of Big Orange Country for over 50 years. It's totally free to register. I just went through it and just made my picks as quickly as possible. It took me about 3 minutes. Now, if you want to put some effort into it, you could invest as much time as you want, I suppose, making those picks. I mean, we're going to have about $100 of prizes to dispense with. So choose wisely, ladies and gentlemen. We'll run through the whole list of bowl games coming up here a little bit later on in the show today. But yeah, go to our Facebook page, or it's up there on Twitter. We retweeted from @FoxSportsKnox on Twitter, and make your picks. Win cool stuff. All right. So we play Clemson in the Orange Bowl. I saw Clemson was 4.5 yesterday. It was down to 3.5 on FanDuel earlier today. We'll see where that settles out. Tennessee's going to be an underdog against Clemson. Am I oversimplifying it? Here's my initial analysis of Tennessee versus Clemson.
All right.
It's all on Joe Milton. If he can complete, I think he's got to be – it's about completion percentage to me. He's got to get above 60%. Hooker was like right around 70% the entire season. I don't expect anybody to match that level of play anytime soon again. But I think Milton was like 51 or 52% at Vanderbilt. That'll get you beat. We're losing.
They've got no shot.
If he completes like half of his passes, we're losing. It's got to be over 60%, man. And I'm not just talking about the deep balls. He's got to be able to complete the short stuff, the intermediate stuff. You know, Clemson has a good defense. Opt-outs are going to be crucial here. I expect our defense to give up some points, especially they've figured out their quarterback situation now, it sounds like, over in Clemson. I expect us to give up some points, and my target is like 40 to 45 points. I think that's what we're going to have to score to win this game. And I think we can do it.
You think we put 45 on them with Joe?
I think it's all on Milton. If he can complete throws, yes, I think we can put up a big number. If not, if he's just overshooting the throws downfield, sending scud missiles on, you know, 5-yard halfback out patterns that go off dudes' hands and, you know, almost severing squirrel's leg on a little rollout. If what we saw against Vandy is what we see against Clemson, not only are we going to lose, I think we get boat raced. Like, I think we lose decisively.
Yeah. That's my biggest fear about this is us getting – because you know Dabo would like nothing better. He may have had to walk back that flipping burgers comment. You know, deep down, he didn't want to walk
feels.
That back.
Yeah, he didn't like Tennessee.
He don't like. He's a Bammer at heart.
Yep. He's has no respect for our program. Stole our swagger. That's what he wants. He wants to
help the next time he runs down there. Runs down that damn hill like he blows both his knees out.
I was thinking about that. Like, yeah, he does that all the time, apparently, like sprints onto their field.
Like, wouldn't you like to see him just like face plant?
Well, how old is he? He's got to be 50, right?
He's like a year or two. Yeah. I mean, he's in his early 50s. He's only like a year younger than me. He played on the 90s. No, he may be my age.
Yeah, be careful, man. Like, because, I mean, seriously, what happens if he's doing that sprint thing and he pops his Achilles?
and then you can't coach these. Yeah, because you ain't.
Yeah, it's like you're gonna sit there on the sideline for. I mean, I'm sure somebody will bring him a Derek Dooley stool, but can you imagine the kind of agony? Your judgment is going to be impaired.
Yeah, you're not gonna be able. That's a whole nother level of pain. Now, here's the other thing. Have you ever been in that stadium? Have you ever seen?
I've not.
I've been there, not for a football. I went there for a coaching clinic one time, and they took us out there. And it's kind of like, you know how until you go to Bristol or like a big time, like real racetrack, you really can't get a good judge for how steep something is until you're standing out there on it?
Yeah.
It's kind of like that.
Yeah, I mean, I'm surprised that we haven't seen like a 50-car pileup on that thing. I'm sure people fall all the time.
I really am too, and especially him, because what's more likely to happen than not blow his Achilles, he'd do the whole Scorpion King deal and break his damn neck, die on national TV.
Okay, that got dark in a hurry, but anyway.
I'm not saying I want that.
We get to play Yabo Dabo.
Yabba Dabba Doo.
In the Orange Bowl. It'll be a Friday night, Clemson. 8 p.m. Great timing for our show because we'll get to kind of lead into it and overtime as well. So that'll be fun, man. It'll be a fun bowl season. Alex Golish got the South Florida job.
Congrats.
Tennessee's in the market for a new offensive coordinator.
Yep. I keep seeing people are banning about all these, like, big names and stuff.
Yeah,
and I'm like,
so dumb,
dude,
man.
That's dumb.
Yeah,
because somebody asked me, and they're like, well, who do you think it's going to be? We're all hearing this. And I'm like, it's going to be whatever that quarterback coach's name is. I can't remember what it is.
My money's on Halsley, Joey Halsley being elevated. When you watch the games, he was sitting right next to Alex Golish, right next to him in the press box for the past 2 years, and maybe even at UCF. I don't know exactly what the responsibilities were there, but he's steeped in Heupel's system. Heupel calls most of the plays everywhere. I know they say Golish calls the plays. I don't know about you. I watch the games. I'm not stupid. I see Heupel speaking into the headset every play we have the ball. Not occasion, like every play. Josh Heupel's calling the plays. So I don't think it – I think it's a good opportunity for Halsley. I think it's a good opportunity to bring in a tight ends coach that is a good recruiter for Tennessee as well. And I'm not saying like it's not done yet. Maybe they will bring in an offensive coordinator. I don't know. But I'm with you. Like, people are saying, well, Bill O'Brien might be leaving. Like, we're going to bring in Bill O'Brien? Like, you're just
– Our head coach is the architect of the number one offense in America that everybody's talking about and wondering if it's going to be the next big offensive change coming to – football across all levels, and he's going to hire Bill O'Brien, or the dumbest one I've heard. It no slight against him. I know it took some cheap shots at him last week, but Josh Heupel's not hiring Jim Chaney.
No.
Like somebody said that to me in really minute, and I just stared at him.
If he does go the coordinator route, like it's even if it's just a tight ends coach, he's going to bring in somebody that there's like some connection to him. Look at what he did last year at the wide receivers job when Cody Burns left. And we had already had a big season, wide receiver season. You had Tillman and Hyatt coming back. Like, it was a good position. He could have hired a lot of guys.
Right.
And he gave it to a GA who has never been a full-time coach on this level. He went with comfort, familiarity, a guy he knows, a guy that's been in his system for a while. He's not going to have to teach a new language to and all that. That's what he's going to do here.
He's going to, yeah.
And that's fine. That's what he should
do, man.
That's
a great analysis of it. I mean, that's basically what he did. He's going to have somebody that's going to coach a positions the way he wants him to be coached.
Yes, Marcus.
Is there any worry Golish might bring some guys with him?
I'm sure he will. I'm sure he'll bring some analysts and maybe a grad assistant or something with him. I mean, that's how these things work. He's not going to take like Ellerby or Jerry Mack or anything like that. You know, he's going to get – because those – like, he's not going to have the money to pay those guys what they're going to get paid here at Tennessee. But, yeah, that's fine. And, I mean, that's college football in 2022. You have all – when you have an organization of over 100 people – you're going to have a lot of turnover every single year, and you just sort of got to work through it. So I think it's a cool thing that Golish gets his opportunity, and maybe this is the beginning of the hypo diaspora throughout college football. How's that for a $5 word? And it's not like we've lost assistant coaches before, and it's like, oh, man, what are we going to do? Yes, we have a coordinator vacancy now, and it's not really that big a deal because you know exactly what we're going to be doing offensively, who's going to be calling the shots, whose offense it is. That's the luxury you have when it is an offensive-minded head coach. It's like when Saban has to replace guys on his defensive staff. It's you don't worry about it that much. He's because you know exactly, or he knows exactly what they're going to be doing and what he's looking for and all that. So we'll see what happens there. Tennessee basketball last night cruising through Alcorn State without Vescovy.
Dude.
Triple J comes back a little bit. Saw your boy BJ getting some run last night.
Yeah, he did really well. Would have liked to have seen him a little bit earlier. The one play that
he was
playing
in the first half.
Oh, I was
not watching.
Kind of napping. I've been sick, man. No, the play I was going to talk about, one of the nastiest, it's the nastiest dunk since Jordan Bowden last was suited up on the court.
I didn't see it. I did not watch the whole game either.
Woo-wee.
Who was it?
Jamai. And it was a really good pass from Yurosh.
He's so good, man.
Dude, it wasn't anything flashy, but, like, the young man threw it down.
Well, there was a sequence in the first half yesterday where he missed a layup that he really should have made. And you're like, oh, man, like, is this a crack in the armor here? And then, like, two plays later, he gets the ball kind of going to the hoop, and it felt like, okay, maybe he's gun-shy now and he backs off, but he didn't. He put his head down, got to the hoop, and won. Lays it in and draws the foul. It's a great play. This is at Alcorn State, but yeah, I mean he's been phenomenal so far this season. What he's given Tennessee off the bench. 865-546-8200, your number to get on the show. We got a lot to get to here. We have high school state champions to crown. Our last North Knox Siding and Windows High School Football Player of the Week award to give out. We've got the World Cup going on. We've got college football coaching carousel going on. We have, as I say, much to discuss. We want to do it with you. Go ahead and take a shot now. 546-8200, your number to get on the Big Orange Phillies phone lines. The drive continues. Back with more right after this. Fan Run Radio, the drive continues. 865-546-8200. Scott Satterfield is the new head coach at Cincinnati.
I've got a strong take on this, Russell.
He pulled a Konzo.
Yeah, he did.
I like it, man. And Louisville, they're like, okay, you do what you got to do, Scott Satterfield.
I think they're happy.
Have a good time. Jeff Brohm, come on down. Former Tennessee head coach Jeff Brohm about to return to his alma mater. Maybe. I don't know. They were in the Big Ten championship game, kicking field goals all night the other day. So
here's where, like, I think Cincinnati should have gone after Golish. I think that they would have been a lot better off. I know it's a little bit more of an unknown.
Yeah.
But had I been advising the Cincinnati program, Bears Consulting Service.
Yes.
Well, Baron Russell. This is what I would tell you. You're going into the Big 12. I would want somebody that could coach, a head coach that was coming in that could install a high-powered offense and had a proven track record of running a high-powered offense or being part of a, you know, the number one offense in the country. Because you know going into the Big 12, you're going to have to score and score by the bushel to even be in games out there. That's just the route I would have gone.
Yeah, I just think Golish is not as known nationally a quantity as he is to us, obviously. And for Satterfield, I'll say this. You know, he had a rough go at Louisville. They were like 2-10 in Petrino's last year before he took over. Like, it was a mess.
Oh, yeah. Inherited. Yeah, I mean, Petrino left it in, like, full-on dumpster fire, for sure.
They were not good, but I just want, like, it didn't seem like a happy situation there. You want to go somewhere where you're wanted, and maybe he's just thinking, man, this Louisville thing, it's going to end poorly eventually. It just doesn't feel right. Chance to restart your clock over there. And I'm sure that there's a lot of things, I would imagine there's a lot of lessons he learned at Louisville. It's like, oh, man, I shouldn't have done this. I shouldn't have brought this guy with me. I shouldn't have hired this guy. And now he's got kind of a blank slate. It's like, okay, I'm going to bring the guys with me that I really want that can help me do the thing. Mm-hmm. And then I'm going to go out there and hire. Gets kind of a do-over. You don't get a do-over very much in that coaching
profession. You're a big fan of the restarting the clock, the concept.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I mean.
It's a thing of beauty, isn't it, when executed properly?
Yeah.
Did you see what Dez Fitzpatrick had to say about it? So he's
the Titans receiver?
Yeah, because he played at Louisville. He was happy to see him leave.
Mm-hmm.
Someone talked about, some blue check said something along the lines of looking forward to U of L, hopefully hiring a football coach who won't settle for being a punching bag to its in-state rivals, and he said, thank God. And then he also followed up saying, last thing I'll say, when the South Carolina job rumors were floating around, he made us tweet about how well he was treating us, but wouldn't tell his players that he was leaving in person. He was never honest with us.
It's kind of butchy. Does it sound a little butchy to you? A little butchy?
It's critical.
It sure does.
I feel like Marcus bringing up some Dez Fitzpatrick quotes is just a really, really soft way of trying to get us to talk about the Titans and A.J. Brown.
The Philadelphia failure?
A.J. Brown going off against the Titans. This is all I say. Most predictable thing ever. Let's go to the thoughts. D.R. Vault is up first today. What's up, D.R. Vault?
Yeah, every time they showed A.J. Brown, Marcus is not as extreme as like a bear or a me, but I could see him thinking about punching a wall or threatening to punch the wall maybe.
Yeah, that last one where he like opened his hands like he was, you know, waiting for a piece of bread in a soup line, and Hurts just dropped it in his hands, and I immediately I'll admit,
saw Marcus
in my head and started
Hello,
giggling.
Darkness, my old friend.
That scene of Cobb.
That one.
Marcus that sitting one in a chair, squeezing his beer so hard that it shot to the ceiling.
I hurt myself today.
That one touchdown celebration where he was talking to the goalpost, that's how I imagine Marcus went to the bathroom talking himself down from kicking his own ass, maybe.
Yeah, I'll tell you what, it was...
I'm going to kick my own ass.
It was a bittersweet moment of, you know, for whatever reason, giving myself some sort of hope before the game. And then, of course, I had to work that night, and I have a coworker who's a Phillies fan, so he... wearing his Brian Dawkins jersey.
What you going to say? That's a statement right there, still wearing a Dawkins jersey.
Yep.
I had to turn it. I felt like I don't know. I think Larry Scott loved watching this Titans offense, honestly. It's so damn boring, y'all.
They don't have any weapons.
No, they have nothing. It sucks.
And their biggest weapon, they're just able to load the box and just run stuff.
Yeah. Guys, I got a football question. I want to move on to basketball. But John and Cody were talking about today about how Dabo's got a rule you can't sit out for the bowl game. And I'm already kind of worried because DJ, whatever his last name is not playing. I felt really good about it. And I just don't have faith in overthrow Joe. How are y'all feeling about it after that quarterback looked like he did against North Carolina?
I think Dabo can have all the rules in the world, but if a kid knows he's going to the draft.
How does that work?
Yeah.
What's he going to do? Kick you off the team you decided you don't want to play for anymore?
Well, isn't he the same guy that's got the rule that if you commit, you can't go on other visits? I don't know how you enforce any of this.
Well, you can't. Because at this point, some of these guys, they're grown men.
Well, no, there's very distinctive difference there. Like, you can drop a recruit if he takes other visits. And I think he's done that before. I don't see how you're going to enforce the you must play in the bowl game policy. That seems like something that Dabo just says is a rule to make Dabo feel like his program is different and better than everybody else's.
Very similar to some of the things I tell myself, D.R. Valda, that, you know, make me live under the illusion that Russell's not in charge.
Hey, Dabo does, man. You can tell over the years it's really gotten to him because he did it. Evidently, he did an interview where somebody's questioning about changing the play callers, and somebody said, or he said that if it gets to where they question him, then they can find another coach. I mean, he really, really thinks highly of himself.
Well, this is a really big opportunity for Tennessee to get, maybe not get back, but just absolutely land a haymaker on him and his program.
I hate Dabo. Dabo's up there with a Beamer for me. Did y'all see, somebody tagged us in it about South Carolina fans are going to have an airplane fly over our bowl, and something about, are y'all enjoying your bowl game from Shane Beamer?
Yeah, enjoying it immensely. We're going to be in South Florida for New Year's.
I hope Notre Dame beats the brakes off them.
It's gorgeous. Where are they playing?
You know how like, I've never – that's a phrase that's never come out of my mouth before and never will again. I hope Notre Dame absolutely bends them over a barrel and shows them the 50 states in the Tax Slayer Gator Bowl. By the way, if Shane Beamer had to get the mayonnaise bath last year – when they won the Duke's Mayo Bowl, what will somebody sit there and do his taxes for him on national television if he wins the Tax Slayer Gator Bowl? How does that work? Does he get fed alligator?
Yeah, I think he ought to have to do his taxes while swimming with alligators.
Basketball, y'all, I heard John talk about how he'd heard things about Triple J. It's not sounding so good. Does that kind of change y'all's outlook on the season if he's not going to play at all? I get we're number 7 in the nation right now.
You do realize he played yesterday, right?
Yeah, but he had talked about how his knee is still giving him problems.
I don't know. All I know is he played yesterday, and, I mean, Barnes is usually fairly upfront about guys, isn't he, over the years?
Yeah, I just – to me, why play him yesterday? Like, you've got these three games in, I think, 8 days against, you know, lesser competition, we'll say. Why not just go ahead and shut him down, maybe for the rest of the year, with the goal of getting him ready to go for conference play? Just rehab that thing. Like, I don't – if it's really that bad, I don't need him out there, you know, cutting on that thing in a D1 basketball game. So, I don't know, man. To me, that says that maybe it's something that they don't anticipate getting better, that he's just going to have to deal with throughout the season. And, yeah, I mean, that with Vescovi, I mean, who knows what – he's got a sprained shoulder. You know, who knows what degree that is, how long that's going to linger. But those are your two best players.
Is it a shooting hand?
Oh, it's his – well, it's, I don't know. But those are your two best players. And, yeah, that's a problem if those guys are both dealing with significant injuries.
Yeah, it really worries me for conference play, Russ, to be honest with you. But, you know, maybe if it does continue, I'll get Lamonte Turner on here and ask him his opinion on it. You have a good day, guys.
Oh, Lamonte. Has he popped off on Barnes lately?
Yeah, in one tweet, he didn't really pop off on him. He just kind of, he was leveled some, and it wasn't really, it was well-warranted criticism. About the deal with Zakai. And then he ended the tweet by saying he loved Coach Barnes. Go ahead. You got it?
What?
I thought you were getting ready to read the tweet.
No. Vescovi's strained to his left shoulder. So, yeah, I mean, he's left-handed. That'll be – Barnes says he's day-to-day. Aren't we all? Not good, Bob. Let's not panic about basketball yet, though.
No, to me, again, and I swear to God, I'm going to preface this by saying I'm not going off on an altar boy tangent, I swear. But in these like games like last night, the next three games, the younger guys who you know that if something really catastrophic goes on in your starting rotation, you're going to have to pull up, like Awaka, Edwards, who else would you put in that group?
I mean, that's it, right? Meshack.
Meshack's going to be a big part. He's going to have a big role. If he consistently plays like this.
I mean, the only other guy is DJ Jefferson, and they've already declared him a redshirt.
Yeah, which is, I mean, I would be getting making sure Edwards and Iwaka were getting 20 minutes a night through these three games, for sure.
Let's get Jamie in here next on the Big Orange Phillies phone lines. What's up, Jamie?
What's up, fellas?
Hey, man.
Hey, Russ, what would you do about the you say as far as the offensive coordinator, you just go ahead and promote the quarterback's coach. What would you do filling his spot? You'll get a recruiter?
Yeah, you have to hire a tight ends coach, right? And I don't know. I mean, recruiting is going to be a big part of it, but my hunch is this is just a hunch, not based on talking, just based on observing this guy for 2 years now, is Heupel's going to go with somebody probably younger, probably a name that we're not familiar with, that is familiar with him and his system, and it's just going to be comfortable with the culture that he's trying to build here. He is not going to hire an SEC retread, a name that we're all familiar with, that we've heard of, that's coached at Alabama and Texas and Auburn and all this stuff. And I think he's going to hire a young up-and-comer.
Yeah, me too. I think we're blessed in the fact that we have an offensive coordinator for a head coach. Our head coach is the play caller, which kind of frees up a spot where you can get a guy who maybe not the best tactician, but can really bring in the name. So I'm curious to see how that pans out for us. I'd be curious to see if we do anything on the defensive side of the ball in the offseason. I'm sure you are too, you and Bear, as far as let goes or don't maybe look around.
Yeah.
You know, maybe not a firing, but telling a guy, hey, maybe look around.
Yeah, a mutual parting of the ways, shall we say?
Yeah, yeah. Guys, before I talk about the Orange Bowl, you know, Marcus was talking about the receiver for the Titans. It was, you know, that stuff makes me cringe. It's after the fact. Then they want to come out. These players want to come out and talk about how I'm glad. But he certainly enjoyed your full confidence while he was there. If you care anything about your program and you think you've got an idiot for head coach, the sooner you let it be known, the faster, you know, everybody realizes the emperor doesn't wear no clothes. You don't get 5 years of Butch Jones, you moron.
Oh! So
he didn't make you tweet out anything. You sissy.
Whoa, Jamie. Let the chopper spray on a Monday afternoon.
Yeah, came in with the news.
Guys, we, you know, you can see this has really irked me a little bit. It's got me stuttering over my words. This is how you get, you know, 15 years of, you know, futility in your program. If you've got a lot of people's ears like NFL players do, and you feel like you've got somebody over and sabotaging your program, for you to act like you're behind him, you're making it worse. You ain't helping nothing. That's just when y'all read that off, I was just like, "Yeah, idiot, say something when it matters, dude." This whole after the fact crap.
Well, you want him to criticize his head coach while he's still in college on the team?
Why not?
Well, we saw Juwan Jennings.
Oh wait, yeah. I thought we were talking about the guy. He'd been in the NFL.
Well, he is. I mean, okay. I guess this is his second year out of Louisville, but I don't know many players like you'd have to be an absolute star player to be comfortable enough to do that without fear of repercussions. And even then, like, I think most coaches are not going to put up with a star player doing that.
I was talking about former players, like, you know, in our case with the VFLs that want to get behind all the Butch Joneses and Jeremy Pruitts until they're fired, and then they want to come out and tell us how they knew all along. Don't tell me that crap. Tell me whenever it matters. Tell me whenever he's setting records for you for most losses in a row by double digits. You don't tell me after we already know he sucks that you knew he sucked before. That just makes me so mad. But guys, on a positive note, this Orange Bowl, I'm so excited about it, guys. It's 8:00 kickoff, weekend game. You know, all eyes are going to be on us. That Clemson's a big name, and I think that it's going to mean more to us than it is to Clemson. I think we could really put an exclamation point on this year and really stamp our place on the football map as far as, you know, our legitimacy that we were fighting for all year long, that South Carolina game really just pulled the rug out from underneath us. But you finish the year, what, 11-2? Orange Bowl victory over, you know, top 10 Clemson. I just think that it couldn't do, you know, for those, for the things that need to happen for us to solidify ourselves, man, that Orange Bowl win would be big time, especially when you do it without your starting quarterback. So I just think it means more. I think it really has a lot to do with our program than a lot of bowl games tend to do. You know, a lot of these throwaway bowl games, you know, win or lose, doesn't matter. But for Tennessee and Heupel right now, I just think that a win would be so much, so big for it. It would pretty much wipe out the South Carolina defeat.
Mm.
I mean, you know, 11-2, second year, you're knocking on people's doors that are going to Ohio State and Alabama and Georgia and trying to get them to come to Tennessee and do for us what they do for them. You know, 11-2, second year, it just gives you a lot of lot of cash, as they say in the trade. So
I'm with you. It's a big one.
Guys, stay safe out here. A lot of knuckleheads come out when it rains. So it's good talking to y'all. I'll talk to y'all later.
All right, be safe, man. Keep it between the ditches, folks. Y'all out there on I-40 right now, driving 20 miles above the speed limit, slow it down. Whatever you're trying to get to can wait. It's just life. There's more of it. Unless there isn't. Slow down, Leadfoot. Stay with us. The drive continues, 865-546-8200. Your number to get on the Big Orange Phillies phone lines. Back with more right after this. Welcome back to Drive Continues. It's Fan Run Radio. Russell Baer and young Marcus Young cruising with you on a Monday afternoon edition of the show. El Diablo is next. What's up, Diablo?
Hey, happy Monday, guys.
Well,
since we last talked, it's been a great weekend. We've got state champions in Anderson County,
hey.
West, and Alcoa.
All three for three for the East Tennessee teams. Pretty good week.
Pretty good weekend. Hey, speaking of good draws, who would have thought that at the beginning of the year, if someone would have walked up to you and said, your team's going to finish 10-2 and going to get a New Year's Six bowl game and the Orange Bowl invitation against Clemson, we'd have taken that every single time. Would you agree with that?
Oh, absolutely.
So, you know, while the South Carolina game is always going to leave a sting and hurt a little bit, it's still been a great season, man, and I'm glad to see some of the fallout from Coach of the Year and Offensive Player of the Year awards starting to come in. Let me ask you this, though, guys. I don't care enough about the ACC to ever watch their games, but I did see or hear something about the Clemson making a change at quarterback. So can you tell me a little bit about that and what kind of implications it'll have for our bowl game?
Yeah, they went to their freshman, whose name escapes me at the moment.
Cade Klubnik is a five-star recruit, and they tried to – I mean, he replaces another five-star. Uiagalelei was thought to be the heir apparent to Trevor Lawrence. And I think this is an interesting game from their perspective because, you know, they had this seamless transition from Taj Boyd to Deshaun Watson to Trevor Lawrence, and, like, they just had it rolling. And Uiagalelei was supposed to be the next guy. And he even had that game where he started at Notre Dame for them when Trevor Lawrence was hurt that year.
Yeah, and won it, right?
Yeah, and looked pretty good. And you're thinking, okay, this is going to be fine. And it never stuck with him. And they were able to have a good season with him this year, but they were never the dangerous offense that they had been in years past. So Klubnik comes in. He's played a little bit this year, but – he came in, I think, on the third series after, like, two consecutive three and outs and just lit up North Carolina to the point where Dabo didn't even have to do the watch the film thing after the game. He's just like, yeah, this is our guy. So Uiagalelei is going to move on. Klubnik's going to be their guy. And it's going to be interesting to see, like, how he does, because for them, there's been a lot of pressure. Somebody referenced it earlier, D.R. Vol, talking about how Dabo was like, if y'all don't like the way I'm running the program, you can find somebody else. But there's been a lot of pressure on him to change coordinators, to change systems and everything. And it feels like now this gives Dabo the excuse to stick with Brandon Streeter as the offensive coordinator, stick with the system and everything and go forward. So, like, I think there's an element of the unknown what Tennessee's going to get out of Milton and our offense. But they've got the same thing going on there, man. They're unsettled there too.
is this kid a threat with both his arms and legs? I mean, what, yes. Is he Hendon Hooker type, or is he?
He's a dual threat. He's a dual. He's like a really good quarterback. All these guys, I don't know if anybody's noticed that, but I've noticed that I don't hear dual threat as much anymore. It's just he's a really good quarterback. Really good quarterbacks now at all levels can beat you with their legs and with their arms.
Yeah, you used to make the distinction of, like, this guy's a dual threat.
Yeah.
Now it's almost like you make the distinction of, well, this guy's not – like, he's a statue. He can't run.
All right, guys. Thanks for taking my call, and y'all have a great day and a great week. See you. Talk to you soon.
Thanks, Diablo. I just want to say we will go ahead and refer to Cade Klubnik as Clade Kubnik from now on the show. This is made a reference to the baby club ceiling yesterday on Twitter, and it's become one of those things where every time I tweet it out or say it, like, people's like, oh, you're like, you messed up. And I just don't have the heart to correct them.
It's a baby club ceiling.
What's the other one is always, was it over when the Germans bombed Pearl Harbor? Always some smart aleck. What'd you say, Russ? I say you need to have better respect for film history and go watch Animal House immediately. That's what I said. Portions of the show today brought to you by our friends over at FanDuel. Now's the perfect time to download America's number one sportsbook app on your phone, because right now new customers get a no-sweat first bet up to $1,000. That's free bets back if your first bet doesn't win. Saints Bucks Monday Night Football tonight in Alex Golish's new stomping grounds, Tampa. The Bucks are a 3-point favorite. You could go put together a same game parlay. They've got pre-built SGPs there that you could choose from. They've got all the different props and everything to make it the way you want to do it, whether you want to just stick to a simple money line bet the point spread, get really funky with the player props, the same game parlay, wager a little money to win a lot of money. You can do it tonight. Having a lot of fun with us over on FanDuel, all on an app that's safe, secure, and super easy to use. Sign up with our promo code DRIVE1 for your no-sweat first bet. That's promo code DRIVE1. Make every moment more this season with FanDuel, official sportsbook partner of the NFL. Must be 21 or older and present in Tennessee. First online real money wager only. Refund issued as non-withdrawable free bets that expires in 14 days. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call Tennessee Redline, 1-800-889-9789. Yeah, I fully expect this Klubnik guy to come in and light Tennessee
Kubnik,
up.
Cade Kubnik?
Yeah.
Now, here's the thing. I just want to say this before it. I can't believe I can still remember it 3 minutes later. DJ Ugalale?
Sure.
Ugalale? Sure. You know who I'm talking about. His second start past that Notre Dame game was against Georgia to open the next season. And, I mean, that was that stout.
Yeah, and we all
thought
at the time he'll be okay is just playing against Georgia. And it never was very good.
He never looked like he did in Notre Dame. And I wonder, I mean, you talk about it when you've got a young guy like that, you know, about – some people say that, you know, a kid can get his career ruined in one game. I mean, like,
I just don't think he's very good.
I'd be willing to bet, man, 6 or 7 of those guys off at Georgia defense are playing on Sundays.
My theory on quarterback play is
you're either good or you're not.
Well, you're either accurate or not. I don't think it matters anymore how tall you are, how fast you are, all this stuff. You got to be able to put the ball on the money.
Well, let me ask you this then.
And I think it's part of this problem that Milton has. This is why he's going to have to show me, man.
How many more chances are you going to give him?
Well, I mean, it's not up to me, but I'm kind of – and you can call me negative, whatever. Hey, I get it. The next game I coach will be my first. I watch football games. I know what my eyes tell me, and my eyes tell me that this guy's not a very accurate passer. Oh, but – he looks so much better this year. He looked better when we're playing Akron and UT Martin, and he's coming in and there's no pressure, and he's playing up against a bad team. But he started 3 games now. And yeah, we beat the brakes off Vanderbilt, but we ran for over 300 yards. He's missing guys left and right. So, like, to answer your question, I give him as many chances as Josh Heupel's willing. It's his program, and like I think this is a big game. He can win me over.
I was more asking if your mind's made up on him yet. Your mind
kind
in
of,
particular.
Kind of, but my mind, I'll change my mind if new data comes to, like, if he goes out there and roasts Clemson, okay, let's roll. It's the Joe show going to next year. But if we see what we've seen from him for two seasons now.
We're going to talk about the quarterbacks and transfer portal.
It's like, man, get in the portal or coach Nico up, because if he's your guy next year, you're going to win 7 or 8 games. Yeah. Stay with us. Marcus has your top 4 at 4 individual honors. The coach of the year and AP all conference teams are out. Individual honors for the Vols. Stay with us. We'll tell you who won those coming up next year on Fan Run Radio.